Adam Rubin joins us. Terrific writer. He covers the Mets for ESPN. And I say, Adam, nice to have you with us today. Great to be with you.
Oh, my pleasure. And Colon actually is only 15 wins behind Juan Marichal for the most ever by a Dominican-born pitcher. So he's aiming for that. He wants to pitch next year and try to get that record.
Holy cow. I don't know if we'd be rooting for that. You know, out here it's tough. He has a statue. Everybody's got a statue. The Hall of Famers do. But Colon, as I saw a note somewhere, he's made more starts than any other starting pitcher on the Mets. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the Mets rotation was what carried them to the postseason last year. It was young and hyped, and it just hasn't been the same year this year for the Mets. Matt Harvey underwent thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. He's done for the year. Steven Matz was supposed to start last night. He's got shoulder difficulties, being sent to New York. Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, they've been the best of the bunch, but they're not duplicating last year's performance. And Zach Wheeler, who came over from the Giants, was supposed to come back this year from Tommy John surgery. Three setbacks, probably is not going to even appear this year. It'll be the second straight year without pitching.
What should we expect out of Colon today? And he's pitched here before. He pitched with the Expos against the Giants, with the A's, and here he is still the guy who throws those laser shots into the strike zone.
Well, he has a clunker every once in a while in Arizona, his last start, but for the most part, he's remarkably consistent. He keeps the hitters. He only really throws one pitch, a fastball, and it's not like his early days. It's upper 80s for the most part. He'll spot up there in the low 90s when he needs to. But just one pitch just keeps changing the speeds. Like every take off 2 miles an hour, add 1 mile an hour, keeps the hitters off balance just with a fastball. So it's interesting to watch. He's about 10 miles an hour slower than when he first started, but he's still clicking.
Yeah, he is. He gets people out. As I said, I think 4 of the last 10 games, 5 runs or more. 5 of the last 10 games, 2 runs or less.
You know, he's had a few clunkers more recently, but for the most part, he's been one of the more sound pitchers for the Mets this year. Terry Collins actually selected him for the All-Star game. More an honor. He didn't appear in the game. He was kind of the safety net for if the game went into extra innings. Actually, Terry wanted to take DeGrom, but they decided DeGrom needed a rest over the All-Star break, so he took Colon, and Colon said yes.
Well, the Mets are pennant winner in the World Series, and this year now they're sliding out of the second wild card. I guess it goes back to the pitching, but as you look at this team, Terry Collins, and just the way they're playing, what do you see?
They're not. You saw last night, they're making a lot of mistakes. You saw Jose Reyes, Seth Lugo on the bases last night. Jubal Cabrera had the error. Just things aren't going well overall. The hitting with runners in scoring position is absolutely absurd this year. It's they're flirting with 200. They're 20. They're worse than the majors by far. The Yankees are 29th, and the Mets are 20 points below them. And batting average with runners in scoring position. It's been a disappointing year all around. Yoenis Cespedes finally came back yesterday from an injury with his quadriceps. He tried to play through it for a month before going on the DL and was just struggling with that. Just a lot of injuries. Neil Walker is finally supposed to be back in the lineup today. He missed the last 4 games with lower back stiffness. So a lot of things going on with the Mets. When in Arizona, one game earlier this road trip, the Mets had 5 players in the starting lineup who weren't even with the organization on opening day because so many injuries and things have happened.
I like watching Cespedes play. As I say, Adam Rubin with us. He covers the Giants, the Mets for ESPN. He made a couple of catches last night. And you know, Eddie Montague, my dear friend, the National League, you know, Eddie sits right behind you in the press box. And a longtime umpire, he said, you know, it was almost maze-like the way the ball is hit. And you say, wow, that ball's crushed. And this guy just glides back and he makes the play.
Yeah, you know what? He won a Gold Glove last year in the American League for his time with the Detroit Tigers. He's played more center field this year with the Mets than left field. But once the quadriceps injury came up, Terry Collins started abandoning using him in center field. So the Mets actually don't have a bona fide center fielder right now, at least against right-handed pitching. They acquired Justin Ruggiano recently, so he's starting in center field against lefty pitching. But they've been using Curtis Granderson recently in center field against right-handed pitching. Not ideal. At his age, as for Cespedes, he'll drive Mets fans nuts because he'll do those kind of catches too. But sometimes the effort level isn't always there, and you see it, and that's why the Mets were only willing to give him a short term deal. He's got an opt out after this year of a 3-year contract. I think the presumption, as much as he likes New York, is that he'll probably opt out after the year. It doesn't preclude him from coming back to the Mets, but kind of silly for him to accept the not opting out and then just make 2 years, $47.5 million left on this contract. When if he hit the free agent market, he'd probably do significantly significantly better than that.
Yeah, I realize that he has baggage, and that's why he moves around, the A's to the Red Sox, the Tigers to the Mets. But you saw this time last year when he got hot, that's the reason the Mets ended up in winning the pennant.
Well, most definitely. I mentioned that the strength of the Mets is their starting pitching. They were last in the majors in runs scored on July 31st, the day they acquired Yoenis Cespedes last year. They became the first team in Major League history to rank last on July 31st in runs scored and reached the World Series. So he really gave them a jolt. Last year, Michael Conforto, also who used to be at Pac-10.
Where'd
Pac-12,
he go?
He's back in the minors now. He's really struggled this year, but he helped carry them to the playoffs last year. Really struggled this year as a sophomore. So a lot of the things that were clicking last year aren't clicking the same way this year. Conforto went to Oregon State.
What happened to Conforto? Because he killed the Giants in the series when the Giants were there earlier.
He's really struggled at the Major League level this year, especially left-handed pitching, but just overall, just he's been demoted a couple times. He's actually had a couple straight four-hit games with Las Vegas this past week. So Sandy Alderson, the general manager, said he's not going to come back till September 1st. So he'll be back then, but really a sophomore season is not duplicated what he did last year during his rookie year.
Syndergaard tomorrow, and again, this is a guy, and I just look at the numbers. The Giants have seen him a couple of times and somehow managed to deal with him. But 5 2/3, 110 pitches, and this is not the Syndergaard I remember.
Yeah, no, he's not had the same year as last year, even though it's funny, DeGrom and Syndergaard both are in the top seven, I think, in the National League in ERA, but both of them have not been as intimidating as last year, particularly Syndergaard. Syndergaard's pitch counts his last six or seven starts have all been, like you mentioned, he's up around 100 pitches in the fifth innings. He's out in the sixth inning. I think I'd have to go back and look, but I think just about every first inning he's had in his last several starts, he's been 25 pitches. So he set the tone right away. So certainly discouraging for the Mets. And you know, it's funny, I was talking to Terry. I'm actually writing this article for tomorrow, but I was talking to Terry Collins yesterday about what's going wrong with the Mets pitching this year. And he said he actually was warned by guys like Bruce Bochy that, look, you're going to have the year after you go to the World Series, the Mets play through November 1st. There's a hangover from that because of all the workload and the stressful innings. And the Mets pitchers were particularly young last year, so they might even be more susceptible to it. So obviously the Giants win every other year for a reason, and the Mets maybe to a certain extent are experiencing that right now, that hangover.
Great report. Adam Rubin with us. You definitely follow him, and I do on ESPN. That's where I get all my data and the scoreboard. And on the right-hand side, this guy writes every 30 seconds. He's got another five paragraphs coming in. Terry Collins, does he survive this whole mess? I know how New York is and what's going on.
Well, I asked Sandy Alderson, the general manager, before the first game of this series, if anything is going to happen with Terry. Can he give a blanket statement that nothing will happen in season? Sandy says he doesn't do things like that are declarative or whatever the word is for the entire season, but he said, I'm not contemplating anything right now. So I really do think that, because Terry's such a decent guy, he took the team to the World Series last year. There's so many injuries. I don't think anything's going to happen in season unless this things just absolutely spiral out of control. But Terry's under contract for one more year. I don't doubt that they make a switch after the season, but I highly doubt anything is going to happen in season. He hasn't lost the clubhouse or anything like that. It may, you don't like the crispness on the field, but he really hasn't lost the clubhouse. This is very different from the Terry Collins who managed the Angels and the Astros in the 90s when he was a type A personality and he really had bad blood with some of the players in the clubhouse. The players really adore him, and he's gone out of his way to make sure he doesn't create enemies in the clubhouse.
Well said. All right, very well said. I'm glad to hear that. And one last thing before we let you go, and nice having you on.
I appreciate it.
Get the New York perspective here. Sandy Alderson, of course, a very familiar name here in the Bay Area. How's he doing?
Well, I mean, how's he doing
physically?
Well, physically, I was going to separate what's going on the field with physically. He's a little private about it, but I believe he still is undergoing chemotherapy every other weekend still. I wouldn't swear to that because he's kind of private about it. But he said the prognosis for recovery, even though he hasn't disclosed exactly what is wrong cancer-wise, is pretty good. He's out here for this series. He has a place in the area. He still has a place in the San Francisco area. So he's out here for this party. He looks reasonably healthy. I mean, he's in his later 60s now, so not everything's perfect, but certainly seems like he's doing reasonably well health-wise given the condition. You know, it was a little scary. Last offseason, he just kind of, during a press conference, he just kind of fainted at one point, mm-hmm. and it was kind of disclosed what was going on with the cancer and stuff like that. So it's been a little scary at times, but he seems to be doing health-wise pretty well. Baseball-wise, another story. I don't think he's in remote jeopardy this offseason, but certainly they've taken a major step back, and some of the moves have not panned out.
Mm-hmm. But that's the other part of it. We didn't even get into La Russa in Arizona yet. You were just down there.
Hey, well, they took 5-6 from the Mets, though.
That's true. Maybe save Dave Stewart and the rest of them down there. That's another story. Adam, great to have you with us. I appreciate it. Love seeing you every time you come in, and we'll see you upstairs.
Great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That's Adam Rubin. You can follow him on ESPN, as I do many times. All right. More coming up. Matt Moore will join us next right here in the Sports Leader.